listen to the Jason Greger Show presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Remember, if you gamble, use your game sense, stay within your limits. Go to gamesense.ab.ca.
The need for a better start. The Oilers have only scored first once in their last eight games. Now, they've had some good come-from-behind victories, including Tuesday's win against Utah, but you can't always play chase the rabbit, shall we say. The Oilers, they got to be much better early on in games.
They really do, and there's not many things that are more frustrating for a coach than a team that has slow starts, and then they can play the way they do. You know, against Utah, like the last 40 minutes, they were fast, they were direct with pucks, they didn't turn things over, they controlled the majority of the game. So that just makes the first period that much more puzzling of, like, how can't we just figure this out from the start, and then we don't have to play from behind, play with a little less stress for once in this early season, just make things go a little smoother. So for them, it's just about making sure that, you know, you're holding everyone accountable really early before the game even starts, making sure guys are locked in and making sure they know what the plan is and that they're going to play a bit more simple at the start, get their legs moving and try and get to the end of the game that way.
Yeah, well, yeah, disconnected there for a second. I think I might unplug my cord as I was talking to you there, so I think I got it back on in time.
I was wondering what happened. I'm like, wow, I'm really getting iced out here.
Yeah. No, it was the video work, but yeah, my radio connection. I think I unplugged the cord with my foot, so I'll have to. My apologies for that. But it is something like the coach even kind of had a sense of humor. He's talking about, he's like, well, I would just like us to get the first goal of the game, and said it with somewhat of a chuckle. That you know, you talk about that second and third period, and the Oilers played fast. Now Utah is a very fast team. Those two of the top four fastest teams in the league. The Rangers are not close to that, Landon. And I know that it's always, hey, just play to your game, you know, but sometimes you can get sucked down. The Oilers, they have to play a fast game tonight against the Rangers because the Rangers just can't keep up. If the Rangers are able to slow the game down, it plays more into their hands. So how can the Oilers ensure that they play fast and use their speed?
Moving the puck quick and crisp is the first start for that. You know, you said it right. Like, the Rangers are a team that like to slow everything down. You know, in the game against Vancouver on Tuesday, they did a lot of getting in front of Canuck players and throwing that, you know, kind of borderline interference, not interference. They're really good at it, of slowing people down. So it's about keeping your feet moving. When there are those little holdups, just keep driving your feet. Make sure that if it's a borderline where the ref's like, it's not quite enough, you keep your feet moving, you might get one or two or more of those calls. And all of a sudden now you're playing on the power play. But for the Oilers, it's just about, you know, and we've talked about it, like not being on the outside as much, even in the offensive zone and kind of circling around, like driving through the middle, making the Rangers have to defend on the move, not to where they hold their areas a little bit tighter.
Yeah, it's funny. The Oilers and the Rangers are tied for third when it comes to fewest time shorthanded per game in the NHL. Neither one of these teams take a lot of penalties. Now, neither one gets a lot of power plays either. It's kind of low event hockey when it comes to infractions. And, you know, the Rangers, obviously, they're good at it. They don't take penalties. You know, I guess they don't get their sticks in. Who knows? But the Oilers, you always want to look at the Oilers team and say, like, why don't they drop penalties? I think Edmonton is still, they rely a little bit too much on the perimeter, right? Because you played and defense, and you'll give them the outside because you're like, well, I still got room I can get back, I can take a different angle, I can protect the middle. The Oilers don't get a lot of power plays, I believe, because they still don't play inside enough. Agree or disagree?
I totally agree, and that's why I was saying, like, you have to get to the middle of the ice. You have to make the Rangers have to defend on the move. Put, you know, there's so many, like, there's a lot of guys on Edmonton that have a lot of high-end skill and are pretty good taking guys on one-on-one. The more that they can put a Rangers defender or a forward in the D zone into, like, kind of a one-on-one situation, make them defend with their feet, they're eventually going to have to reach in because they're going to get beat. Not everyone's perfect, so as soon as you get into a bit more one-on-ones like that, well, now you can get them to have to reach in, take that extra little pull because they've gotten beat clean and they know there's a two-on-one sitting behind them on their own net. So it's just about making teams uncomfortable, and especially after seeing Edmonton play the last 40 of the Utah game, how fast they can play. This Ranger team, like, this has to be for the Oilers, like, them sitting there licking their chops at the opportunity that's ahead of them. If they skate at that pace, they're going to have success tonight.
Landon, last game, very quietly, Darnell Nurse got sat down for the start of the second period. Didn't play for the first 6 minutes. Now, Knobloch did this last year against Leon Draisaitl against the Flyers after he'd taken too many penalties and sent him a message. Now, Draisaitl responded, tied, got an assist in the tying goal, and then won it in overtime. Nurse didn't have a giveaway after the fact, but he needed a reset. It was clear in the eyes of the coaching staff. And I know that a lot of people are like, well, why didn't you do that earlier to Evan Bouchard? And I think there's, A, they had seven defensemen dressed, so it's easier to do it. B, I still don't think when I look at Jake Walman's ice time that he's up to game speed just yet, right? He's only played 20 minutes once so far this season, which tells me that, you know, he's still getting back into conditioning just because he wasn't able to train the way he wanted in the offseason. Then he missed training camp, got hurt, all those sorts of things. But, you know, like, Nurse, and if you're Knobloch, like, when you start to send messages to your veterans, and I know it's only 6 minutes, but... And 6 minutes feels like a lifetime when you're a guy who's used to playing every 2.5 minutes.
Honestly, missing one shift for it is enough a lot of times, right? Like, guys, and it's not ego, it's good ego in a sense.
Yeah.
Of, like, it hurts your pride. You're like, there's no way to hide that your play has not been good enough up to this point, and we need way more out of you. So the best option for us is to have you sit there for a couple minutes. And as you're kind of that grocery stick in the middle, making sure everyone's got time, like, it's a bad place to be. It's lonely there. And it gets you to really kind of strip away the little lies you can tell yourself of, you know, I just got unlucky, or this happened or that. You really look at those plays and you're like, well, I kind of overhandled the puck, or I tried to do this. Like, it makes some honesty come out, and that's why you see a lot of guys coupled with anger in formed in the right way, they come out of it and play pretty decent, because it's embarrassing. And not, you already knew it, but now the whole team knows it.
Right.
And you got to be able to get your feet back under you and make some plays, and it feels that much better when you do start doing that. Like, other guys on the team would have realized he's not playing. Right, even some of the forwards, like, oh, like, I haven't been out with Nurse in a few. They start seeing him come back and playing well. Well, now he's getting the extra stick taps, and guys are making sure he knows, hey, like, great response. We love it. Like, keep going. That's big for team morale as well. But for all the guys to know, it's as much as it's on Darnell, the rest of the guys get the message as well of, if you're not going, like, you're going to sit for a bit, and I don't want that to be me. It's such a simple thing, but it does kind of kick you in the backside to get moving.
Landon Ferraro joins us here on Sports 1440. Sports1440.ca, YouTube, Facebook, X, and Instagram. And when you have seven defensemen, you can do it a little bit easier. I look at the forward lines, and it seems they've got a little bit of continuity, at least in the top six. And I looked last game, they had seven forwards play 16 minutes or more. It was guys like Vasily Podkolzin and Jack Roslovic, Matt Savoy. Those are the guys who got the extra minutes. It was like, you can't really give them any extra minutes to McDavid or Draisaitl. They're already playing a ton of minutes anyway. But, you know, I look at Podkolzin and, you know, his forechecking, you give him a few more minutes, it's just more noticeable. You know, Roslovic, his last few games, I think, has clearly been his best. And Savoy's been pretty consistent, I think, from day one. The 11 forwards just allows more guys to get into it. And it's not necessarily the big dogs. It's more kind of the middle dogs.
Yeah, and this Oiler team needs the middle six to bottom six to pull some of those minutes away, like, grab some of those for themselves, because the more that those minutes are going to them, that means the team is deep and they're playing good and they're rolling through the lines. Everyone can get into it, but their forecheck was really good in the, you know, in the second two periods there. You know, Howard got in and caused a turnover that led to a goal as well. Like, guys were starting to move, and it's hard when lines change so much and your minutes fluctuate so much. It's hard to get a bit of a rhythm. But when the game allows it to work that way and the bottom six is playing, you know, up to a really good standard like they were in the last game, well, now you're just in the flow of the game. You feel everything comes a little bit easier to you because You haven't been sitting on the bench for 6, 7 minutes waiting for that next shift, and then you get out there and you want it to be perfect, because if that works, well, now you got more ice time coming. When you're playing good, you get those more minutes, things start to flow a little bit easier for you. You get in on forechecks a little bit, you make the better read because you're just naturally doing it instead of thinking about it so much.
Yeah, totally true. Landon Ferraro joined us. Zach Hyman, we know he's going to miss at least 4 more games. Who knows? It might be more than that. He's not playing tonight. He's not playing Saturday. He's not going to go on the road trip for the first, or at least he's not going to play on the road trip in St. Louis and Dallas. But when he comes back, is it just kind of like, I look, even with 11 forwards, Isaac Howard only played, still played less than 10 minutes. Like, once Zach Hyman returns, you're going to send Howard down to the minors so he can play 20 minutes a night, aren't you?
You would think so. But I do like that Howard's starting to find his stride a little bit more. He's got the couple goals now. Like, that's great. That's great work to go down and feel good about yourself and then play big minutes and keep building that way. I mean, you just brought up Wallman and how, he's played a handful of games now, but he's still not up to games like his game yet. Right? Like, it takes a bit of time. It's going to take Hyman a decent amount of time to get rolling, especially the type of game that he plays. It's going to take a little bit to get going, but space needs to be opened up, and you don't want a young player playing under 10 minutes consistently and just hanging around for practice. You want him down playing. Those minutes in the American League are invaluable to the majority of players that come through the ranks after being drafted or a free agent, whatever, out of school or college. Like, you need them to play. You need them to feel what it's like to be a big contributor in a pro league and have those tough matchups every single night.
Looking at the Shesterkin battle, the Oilers have had a lot of success, more than most teams, against Shesterkin, one of the best goalies in the NHL. And Stuart Skinner has had a lot of success against the Rangers, has never lost to Shesterkin. It's obviously a small sample size, I understand it, but Skinner's best game of the season was earlier this year against the Rangers. And, Edmonton ideally is not going to want to get outchanced, high danger, 3-1, like they did that first time against the Rangers. But they just, there are certain teams, I'm sure, when you play, like, there's just certain teams that you play better against as a player automatically.
There really is. And you don't even really know why most of the time. It just kind of works out that way. It was one of the worst things when I was younger. I was unreal playing against Minnesota's farm team, and then I signed with Minnesota. I took away half my goals right away just by missing that team again. So for the Oilers, it seems to work. They play fast. Again, you're playing fast against a team that doesn't like to play fast. Now you're giving Shesterkin different looks than he's normally getting. And then back on your side, not that it was entirely like this when they played them earlier, but if you're skating and making the Rangers work for every little thing that they get, those shots are generally coming from a bit more of an easy place, a bit more where you see the buildup, it's easier to read. Skinner can get into position and make sure he's blocking. Like, it just opens up a little bit. Like, it does make sense to me why the Oilers play the Rangers well, because it's a lot of skill and speed against a team that wants to make more kind of set plays, and it's harder, that play down into the middle and to the bumper where JT Miller's generally hanging out.
Yeah.
It's that heavier minutes that they want to play.
Well, I got to ask you, because I know you've been kind of watching it, the World Series last night. First pitch of the game, gone. Third pitch of the game, gone. It was almost like in hindsight, the game was over after three pitches because LA only scored one run in that game. But when you think of like it's never happened in Major League Baseball history, like, I don't know if I can ever think of a game at that magnitude to have that start on the road. Like, the Jays, like, talk about taking the crowd out of it. Like, that's like your dream as a road team. You couldn't have taken the crowd out of any better than last night.
It was unbelievable. And that video of his dad filming it with his glasses, the first, like, just everything seemed to work out perfectly. But you could just feel it from the Jays. I'll be honest, like, before the series started, I was just hoping they'd grab a couple games against them and, make it a good series. But then all of a sudden, like, you just see the belief off of Toronto's side, and you see off of the Dodgers' side of, this is a lot better team and giving us a lot harder of a look than we were expecting. Yesavage was unbelievable. He's been so fun to watch and seeing how jacked up the guys are getting. Like, you just, it's what, to bring it back to the Oilers, it's that feeling that the Oilers need to feel consistently right now of just excitement within their dressing room. I know it's different. We're talking World Series and what is it, game 11 or 12 now. It's obviously different, but like, that stuff builds up over time. And for the Jays, they ride that momentum wave, especially when they're hitting. And I mean, hitting two in the first two at bats is unheard of, and, you know, set a record. And I mean, it's Jays time all around here. Even the people that I know are a bit more Seattle fans up in this area of Vancouver, they're starting to turn the wheel a little bit too.
Have you ever seen a rookie that you played with come in and be that impressive like Trey Yesavage has been for the Jays?
I mean, not at the NHL level. Peter Mrazek coming in to Grand Rapids, Detroit system.
Okay.
I mean, we had a very good team, but he won us that Calder Cup. Okay. Him through that playoff run was unbelievable. Like, it really was. That's the closest thing I have, because at the next level, it would have been Dylan Larkin's first year.
Right. Okay.
And he started off pretty hot, seeing that speed and his hands. But even there, that's training camp of the first, yes, you know, 10 games before I got punted to Boston. That's not showing up and doing it twice in the World Series.
Yeah, that was a wild performance for him last night. 12 Ks, no walks. That was what's... And he struck out every guy in the order, you know, including Freeman multiple times and Shohei Ohtani.
And making it look bad, too.
Yes,
right?
Yeah. Oof. It's funny, you can say, hey, you know what? Good pitching will always be good hitting. I'm like, I'm not so sure. The Jays hitters have been pretty damn good. Like, Blake Snell had just been pitching for fun against everybody else, and the Jays have rocked him twice. And you know what? Now they got Yamamoto. That's obviously going to be a tough test, but you know, look forward to it tomorrow. We look forward to the order game tonight. Landon, thanks for your time, buddy. Have a good one.
Yeah, you too.
Landon Ferrari.